Welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm your host, Hattie Ashdown, and mum to two feral boys. Join us as I welcome a different mum every episode from the world of comedy, as we give no judgment, no filter, but all the laughs on this crazy ride of parenting, work, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!
Welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm your host, Hattie Ashdown. And well, my headline today is salad cream and tomato sauce is good. I'm sorry. It's a very basic headline today. I have other more angry ones, but let's just keep it simple. And of course, my co-host today is
Gemma Beakley. Hi. Gemma. My headline is that, as of Friday just gone, I will never cuddle an 8-year-old son ever again.
That's such a good headline.
He turned 9.
Such a good headline. Mine was salad. Yeah. Have you had salad cream and tomato sauce together? No?
But isn't that just don't they call that seafood sauce?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
I thought I'd invented something. We're going to dive more into your last hug with an 8-year-old in this show, but we're doing a pre. So we've already done the chat with our guest and this is us introducing it. So we talked to Irish comedy writer and actor who's most recently filmed on Outlaws. She can be seen in Motherland on BBC One with Anna Maxwell Martin. So in a way, our third person for Motherland, because we've had Holly Walsh, the writer, and Tanya Moody.
Yes.
And she's also in Ian Sterling's Buffering on ITV. And she, I never got to talk to her about this, or did I? She was once said on Twitter, now X, that after 12 years of marriage, her and her wife have achieved perfect synchronization by farting exactly the same time. We talked to actress and writer, mother of 3-year-old Brona C. Titley. And it was just such an easy chat. And I don't know why I was a bit nervous, because just to save her any one that is following, particularly on Instagram, we've missed two because of some stuff I've got going on at home.
And in your personal life.
And I'm not quite ready to talk about it on here, but I'm, you know me, it won't be long. So I'm just figuring stuff out. So we haven't been able to call. So I kind of, yeah, it was silly really. I was like, well, I guess it's that thing of like, can I just talk about stuff without crying? But yeah, I got through it without crying, Gemma, didn't I?
Yeah, you absolutely did. And also, you know, it was just that and just initial kind of just got to do it, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to do it. And it's like your first gig back.
Yeah.
You know, if you take some time off, whatever, you just got to do it. So no, it's good. You wouldn't have known that you'd been away for a day even.
I know. You just put the face on. And it's that thing I would say to anyone that's sort of worrying about if you're going through something, that, because my thing was like when my mum died and I did a gig and I got up and I did cry at the end, but that was then and it was very different. I was doing this sort of mum gig and actually everyone was really lovely and supportive, but that doesn't mean that will happen this time. And I think when I did my first gig after my shocks that happened to me was I thought it was fine. It's actually really, really good. A really good gig. So don't always judge. Don't think, oh, I can't do it because last time this happened. We're changing and evolving. We're different people and I'm a different person. But yeah, it was just so easy with Brona. She's just very, very funny. Of course, that is her job, to be very funny. And
she is. And I think, you know, not to stereotype, but just a lovely Irish gift of the gab there.
Yeah.
And just really lovely and easy, and my kinfolk, so you know, just
good
stuff.
If you're at school gates with her, she doesn't want to be your friend. That nice little in joke there, you'll have to listen to find out what that means. But yeah, we've never actually met in Ariel, and but I was like, you know, it sounds so bleh, but I felt like we had, and it's because we got, but it's because she's got such a personable persona that I've just seen of it, even just on Instagram and stuff, and she's just very warm and funny, but also got that, yeah, she's got that sharp Irish tongue. Keeps it real. So yeah, go have a listen and keep, just keep listening, keep subscribing. We need you, and you need us. So have a listen. I asked you, what would you like to talk about? And you said that you feel like all day long, you're just sort of saying, be careful, be careful.
Yeah, I want to talk about be careful. I want to talk about be careful. Now, I don't say it all day long because I'm really, really conscious of it. And I think I come from a family of be careful. And I think growing up in the like 80s and 90s, you were probably just told that all the, you know, you probably were told that, we were told that all the time. And I hear my parents say it to like my niece and like my child and stuff. But I think like the modern thinking, and this is why I'm trying to challenge it, is that it doesn't mean anything to them. Like it's white noise to them. It absolutely goes over their head, or they go, oh, yeah, I'm careful, but they're going to continue to do what they were doing anyway. And like I follow, you know, not a lot of those kind of parenting.
Gentle parenting type.
Yeah,
things.
The gentle parenting posts on Instagram. And I saw one recently that was like, don't say, be careful. Here are 8 things you can say instead. And I thought it was really good. It was really useful because it was stuff like, what's your plan? Which I could. Like my daughter was like, you know, had her arms up and her legs up and was like entwined in a rope on a pirate ship this morning. And I was like, Rua, what's your plan? it was sort of like, you know, then they get to think about what to do. And you're supposed
that's
to say
so
like,
good. That's gonna... yeah, that's good. Consequences. Then it makes them think about that down.
And then also stuff like, I think you can say, does your body feel safe? Which again is like, they get to say yes or no to that. They get to think about it. Because I think it's really terrifying. Like I find it really terrifying. You want to, all of your instincts are to keep this child alive, right? So if they climb to the top of a high thing, you want to immediately like grab them.
Yeah.
But you also, it's your job to prepare them for the world, and it's your job to teach them what they're, you know, to find their own boundaries and to find what's safe and what works for them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not going to work that you climb up after them, although I have done that many times, up the firefighter's pole and grab
oh,
them,
God.
Bring them down. But also you don't want them to learn by falling and breaking their face.
Yeah, I said all these things when I wasn't a parent. I remember going watching somebody try to learn to ride the bike, and I was like, I'm just gonna let them just sort of like get on it and deal with it, and then cut to me. And it's like not like that at all. It's like helmet, all the things, and stabilizers, and it's not like that. Do you think some of that, especially when you're in the park though, is just sort of making it, you want to sound like a concerned parent, so it's a lot of the time it's for other people to sort of go, because if you watch a parent,
I actually when I do parenting that I've learned from books, I'm so mortified that other people might hear me. Like it's when I use something that someone will know came from fucking Philippa Perry's the book you wish your parents had read and the one your children will be glad you did. Like I'm so mortified that someone thinks I'm trying to do good parenting. So I would, you know, and I did actually find that book very useful because it's all about acknowledging feelings, and all your child wants is their feeling to be acknowledged. You know, if their toy falls down behind the slide and they're sad about it, then if you go, oh, don't worry, we'll get it, don't worry, they're going to continue being sad. Whereas if you say, oh, that sucks that your toy fell behind the slide, you're really sad about that, aren't you?
Yeah,
you're really sad, it's okay to be sad. But if there was other parents around, I would like drop my voice, and you're really sad about this. The problem is mommy can't reach it right now, so here's what we're gonna do, it's okay to be sad, you're having big feelings about this, aren't you? You're having big feelings. Like I would be so
why are you
mortified.
Being so sinister, why are you whispering everything?
That's what she's going to shout. Like,
why is this creepy woman whispering affirmations at that child?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So no, I don't mind people hearing me be a bad parent for some reason, but I would be mortified if they heard me give like, you know, gentle parenting Instagram speak to my daughter, which I do all the time.
Oh God.
It does feel like there are two schools.
With the sort of being true. Okay with admitting that you're getting it wrong, and instead of doing that, what a lot of people do, what I watch, is they just get really annoyed at the kids.
Yeah.
And to me, I, you know, I think that looks bad, or being embarrassed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think me and Gem have talked on here before about the sort of the 80s parent that smacked and stuff.
Yeah.
a lot of that came from embarrassment.
And wanting the situation to stop and not wanting other people to judge you and stuff.
So somehow smacking them. Oh, that looks much better.
Yeah. Anyway, it's interesting because I think like when I hear other parents, like when you see a toddler having a tantrum or like you hear another parent saying something that you know is going to make the situation worse because it's easier to know that from outside. I never judge another parent though, because I think that most children are utterly psychotic, and even the children that aren't and that are the best kids in the world are such hard work. Like I love being a parent with every fiber of my being. I knew I was gonna like it, but I had no idea I was gonna like it this much.
But
my child is so awake from 6 in the morning till bedtime, like 12, 13 hours a day, that like even the most magical, beautiful, hilarious child will wear you down. It's just work hours. It's just, you know, it's like, it's so, you have to do so much energy, so much putting another person first, so much thinking about how you speak to someone, so much wrangling snacks and meals and potty and coats and mittens, and we're into like hat and scarf and welly weather, and like it's labor. Like I remember a neighbor saying to me when her second child was born, she was like, nobody told me that parenting was domestic servitude. There's so much of it that is just labor.
You're listening to the Funny Mummy podcast.
Yay!
Now can I go back?
Yeah. Because obviously on this podcast, everyone, you know, working comedy, and we have very strange hours a lot of the time. So how have you found that sort of transition?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I work in comedy, but as a TV writer and an actor. So I have the luxury of not doing gigs at nighttime, which is, you know, I mean, I never did stand up, but one of the main reasons.
I was going to ask you that. Okay.
No, one of the main reasons I never did it was because I never wanted to work nights. Just like didn't want to work nights, didn't want to get a bus up and down the country, didn't want to talk to drunk people, wanted to be in my pajamas watching David Attenborough. That's my social life. So I sort of like can mostly keep office hours to a certain extent. Like this, you know, I was writing a studio show. There's a few big studio shows that I write on, stuff like Ant and Dec, Saturday Night Takeaway. This week I was working on Big Brother Late and Live, where I left my house at 7. Yeah, it was really fun. I left my house at 7:30 in the morning and got home at like 11 PM. So it's like a long day. So I think one thing that changed when I had my daughter was that I spent my whole working life being like the world's biggest procrastinator. I knew I had a script or something to do, and I would do laps of the house for 3 days, putting on washes, alphabetizing my different types of spaghetti. I don't know what I was just doing anything to avoid the script. And then when my daughter was born, I was breastfeeding. I remember like breastfeeding her to sleep, then handing her over to like our childminder who was watching her for a couple of hours, running upstairs and writing 5 sketches as fast as I physically could, like just vomiting them out, and then stopping work and going back down to breastfeed my daughter, but getting it done. And so I think one thing that was amazing was that like having a child made me so much better at time management, because you have to. You wouldn't be able to work, you wouldn't be able to pay the bills if you like just faffed as much as I faffed pre-child. And then in terms of like, you know, the sort of working hours plus having a child, it's just changed in the past month, because she, up until a month ago, she was in a nursery where we could drop her off anytime from 8 and pick her up anytime before 6. And, you know, mostly I put her in kind of 9 to 5 or 9 to 4:30, but you sort of had that flexibility.
Yeah.
Now she's in a preschool where the day starts at 8:30 and the day finishes at 3:30. So I basically like drop her off, sprint home, like right as fast as I possibly can before my working day finishes at 3 and I go back to get her. So I think I'm doing the same amount of work that I was doing between 9 and 5, but I'm just doing it faster.
Wow.
I don't know if it's better or as good or much, much worse, but I'm doing it faster. And what's so mad about that as well is that like when she was at nursery, I never saw other parents really, because you're all dropping them up and picking them up at different times. I have just discovered the school gates. That's what's happened in my life in the past month. You stand there at the same time as 30 other parents with their kids. And then at 3:30, you all stand there at the same time, and you have to run the gauntlet of, oh, how are you? Yeah, good to see you. Oh, was he tired last night? No, here it's raining as well. Oh. Just the inane school gate chat that I've never had to go through before. And now I have to do twice a day, 5 days a week. It's
so, so here's a little tip for you. Don't fucking talk to any of them. He is now in year four, and I have no mummy friends. I do not speak. Yeah, hardly. I am. They're probably slagging me off, and I do not care a jot.
Yeah, a friend did say to me, "Don't make eye contact. Don't look at anyone. Don't talk to them." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, no, I'll absolutely try to do that." And then obviously failed at the first hurdle.
Wait, are you on no class WhatsApps, Gemma? Can't remember.
Yeah,
but you just
you're on
don't.
No class WhatsApps.
I'm on the year four WhatsApp group, and it's the same woman every Monday saying, "Is it PE today?" Yeah, every Monday. Every Monday. So
I bet there's a not Gemma WhatsApp group for year four as well. Near for year four.
Do
not
you know what?
Gemma,
so it's better to be talked about, Rona.
She nearly looked at me today. She nearly smiled at me at pickup today. Does anyone know how we can reach her? How are we going to get through to Gemma?
She's really lonely.
This is a real offshoot now, talking about mums at school. So on the Nextdoor app, another one which I'm not overly busy on, but I just happened to be on it one day. And there was one of these.
She mentions it every week, Rona. I don't know why she's lying.
Ring doorbell footage. Ring doorbell footage. Does anybody know this woman who stole a package that had been left on the thing anyway? It was one of the mums from the school. And I was like, oh God. And then I went to pick up our...
Did you narc? Did you say?
I did. No. I thought, do you know what? It's not my business.
Stitches get stitches.
Exactly. And I'm not putting my head above the parapet. And however, I was at the school, I was picking up unusually I was picking up a few weeks ago, and I saw the other mums, and the thief walked past.
Oh yeah.
And they all went
new coat.
And I was thinking, they're slagging her off. Okay. That's what they're doing. I thought, no, thank you. Okay. I've got enough WhatsApp groups that I'm slagging people off on. I don't need another one.
Yeah, we don't have one yet, but I'm sure it's just a matter of time before somebody starts it.
It's just someone, I've had teachers saying, they'll start a WhatsApp. And I'm like, no, don't tell someone. But I don't know.
I think it's really handy, because if on a Sunday night you can't remember when PE is, you get to text the group and ask.
It's Monday, Brona.
Is it every Monday, or is it just sort of
every Monday, so
every
week.
Monday
it's a timetable.
Oh, my friend has got their teacher on that there one. That is
interesting.
Oh, that is weird.
That is weird, because it's very much the teacher is there for quality control. They're there to make sure they're not talking about them.
Because on my one, I'm on two, because I've got two boys and two in different years.
Yeah.
It's funny because one is much more kind of innocent, because it's people that have, we're only year one.
Oh,
so
that's sweet.
They're all quite new to it. And then the other one who's in year four, it's a lot more just slagging off the teacher. And I'm like, oh, leave him alone. But I don't mind it. I was thinking the other day, the whole school gates thing is a bit, is a bit like being back at school yourself, and there's this forming groups thing, and which is I sort of really struggled with it at the beginning. And actually, fair enough, this brought back all these haunts of being at school.
Did you like school, Hattie?
I got left out. I got left out a lot, and I struggled.
It's okay, let's talk about that. Okay, how did that make you feel?
No, but I'm fine.
Like a loser.
I'm fine. I mean, just put me in the corner. But it just brings back all those insecurities, isn't it? Of being left out. So I just did. I stepped away. Yeah. But now I've got, but I'm not quite sure where I am in the group of mums. I think like I'll get like a message from one of the mums and she'll say, oh, so me, so and so and so other mums, we're all going for a drink and do you want to come? And I'm like, okay, they've made that arrangement and then they asked me, which is, I'm not in the original arrangement. Do you see what I mean? So I don't know what that means, but anyway.
You're an afterthought, is that?
I'm like, thanks, Gemma. No, they're all scared. I think they're all scared of me, but because I'm a bit, you know, I'm a bit much, you know. And it's that thing of like the usual thing of if somebody that's, my sister said to me once, she goes, I just think with us, because we're quite loud people and open, other people are a bit scared because they think, oh, are you going to embarrass me? You know?
I don't know. I think like I heard a lot of my friends, because a lot of people work in comedy, say this phrase a lot, that people think they're a bit much. And I just I've never really met a person who I thought was too much. Like I just think like people can't be enough. Like let's hear it. Like, you know, we're all here for one wild and precious life. Like, woohoo! Let it all out at the school gates. Like
my toxic personality trait is I would rather someone be horrible but funny than be nice and not funny. That is a real toxic personality trait.
I think mine is close. Mine is that like the people like I don't tend to like the most are the ones who bring nothing to the table. They're neither a good entertainer nor a good audience.
Interesting. Yeah.
Like if they just sort of sit there blandly, then I'm like, look, you know, it's fine if you can't tell funny stories, but it's better if you laugh at mine and then you will be giving some value.
I was going to say, who are you attracted to, Brona, at the dinner table if there's like different people to sit next to? Because people think, because we like chatting, they're like, oh, I'll put you with them because they're quite quiet. It's like, no, but you've got to bring something.
And I love a dinner party because I love seeing lots of different, you know, I love like a new group dynamic and putting new people together and seeing, like hearing about other people's lives is fascinating to me. Because like, you know, you kind of know what your life looks like if you work in TV or in comedy. I sort of know those people. But if somebody is like a lawyer, I'm like, literally, what does that mean? Like, what did you do today? You know, it's very, so I find people very interesting. So I do like a dinner party, I have to say.
Well, I mean, yeah, you wouldn't be the good writer you are if you weren't, you know, that's what you have to, you have to be interested in people.
And I am a good writer, Hattie. Thanks for bringing that up.
I just want to drop that in there as many.
So we're gonna edit that part out, aren't we? We'll be the judge of that, Brona. <please, Emma.
laughs> Oh God, I had a million questions in my computer brain. Now, while I'm going to the different rooms, which one?
We don't have time for a million, Hattie. Please try and organise yourself.
So what does your, your wife, what you've been together, is it nearly 13 years?
We're together since 2009. So I think that's coming up on 14 years. Yeah, 14 years, actually, just this month.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what, so in terms of the childcare and stuff, what does she bring to the table?
What does she bring to the marriage, the family, the situation? So up until a month ago when my daughter started preschool, we both had my daughter one day a week each, which was quite nice. So we both worked 4 days a week and had my daughter one day a week. So my daughter had like, you know, 3 days in childcare and 4 days with her parents, essentially, which was really good. And now that she's 3 and a half, we've had enough of her. We sent her off to be raised by other people. She does plenty. I mean, she's a really good mother, actually. She's recently had a career change where she sort of went from like the private sector to working in the charity sector and mental health. So that's been really nice change for the family as well, because her job is sort of like less stressful and less hours outside of the house. But the way that we're working it at the moment with this like 3:30 pickups is that we don't have a exact plan. So we're sort of doing is my 3 p.m. Zoom more important than your 3 p.m. Zoom dance the night before every day to see who's going to go and get her?
Okay.
So we might need something a little bit more fixed in the diary. But for now, it's working, being quite flexible.
Yeah, the wraparound care is to get childminders or whatever.
I know, and I think like when they're kind of a bit older, like 4 or 5, there is like after school clubs and stuff that you can kind of throw them into, but not so much at 3. So we're still kind of trying to juggle that.
There is that tricky window in holiday clubs as well, I remember, where it's just like, oh, there's, you know, football for ages 7 plus, and it's like,
Yeah,
you know, it's.
I did, because this will be our first half term. Because it's suddenly like you suddenly just have to be like, oh, I have to source childcare for a full week. What the fuck am I gonna do? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, I should have asked if you curse on your podcast, you but you did invite.
So what the fuck are you gonna do?
Irish, you did invite an Irish person. I don't know. I know my wife can take one day off, and then I've just put half term in the diary, and then if a big job comes in, then I'll find someone and pay someone for that day. But if any small to medium jobs come in, I'll probably just take the week off and look after her.
I love to tweet. Well, we call it X now. I don't really know what Twitter. Are you still on there? Because I know that you loved it and you.
Oh, it's a sad old day, isn't it? Because I really did love it. Like I really loved. I loved, like, you know, my feed was so full of one-liners. You know, when you follow a lot of people in comedy and just like pithy little jokes, and you know, when something in the world would happen, not too serious or dark, and everyone would have a take on it, and it was just like, you know, like when the Queen died and all those amazing tweets about the queue. Like, I know that the Queen dying was a serious thing, but the queue was hilarious, you know, that there was so many amazing amazing times on Twitter, and now it does just seem like a playground for fascists. It's really sad. I'm still on there because I want to see if I can outweigh Elon Musk, is that his name?
Followed me on Instagram, but I don't think it's the real him.
No, I think it is, Hattie. I think it is.
Whoa.
I think it is.
Is he listening right now?
He's on the other line, but I've just blanked out his.
Oh yeah. You have to let them into the Zoom, didn't you? You haven't given them access yet.
I haven't got any control over my life anymore.
You know what? I would rather talk to the two of you than talk to him right now. So just leave him in the waiting room, will you?
Yeah, leave. But I loved your tweet on there about a toddler. Because kids just say the funniest things and the most honest things about someone's a kid saying about why your kid has two mummies, and then they said, am I quoting this right? And they said, well, why not have three?
Yeah, you know? It was so funny. We were at Soft Play, which I love, by the way, and I will say that till I die. I love a Soft Play because you get to like enjoy them kind of climbing in a safe place, like any like it's just like the, you know, foam. She's not going to hurt herself on foam.
Are you not so having to crawl nuts. Around with her?
Yeah, still. But I'm also never really grew up beyond the age of five, so I'm fine with that. So anyway, we're at Soft Play, and another kid was asking about her family and about our family, and so I said, "Oh, Rua has two mums. I'm mammy, and she has a mummy at home." And the child was like, sorry, what? And I was like, two mums. She has two mums. And then without missing a beat, the kid was like, why not three? And her dad was nearby, and we were all on a trampoline. So this conversation was happening as we were jumping up and down on a trampoline. And so she said, why not three? And then her dad laughed nervously and was like, I think two is enough. Which I wasn't sure about. I'm still going to look into it.
Stamp on the kid's punchline.
Yeah. That is brilliant.
And yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, my boys said the other week, but I don't know what their reasoning was. They were like, oh, mummy, I wish we had two mummies. But I don't know if it was from they want two of me, or they're just like, yeah, two mummies would be good. And I'm like, well, be careful what you wish for.
I know. Wouldn't it be good, though, if you could have a clone? Like that stayed at home and did all the boring stuff, and then you got to go out and do all the fun stuff, like just a parenting clone, you know.
AI it's in the works.
Right, well, that's the first thing I would use it for, it aforementioned domestic servitude.
Yeah, it's true. But I'm just wondering about a domestic situation where it is two mums.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it's pretty good, actually. This is I would say, get a wife. That would be my advice to anyone who's anyone who's struggling with their male partner not pulling their weight. I would just say, get a wife. No, it's funny actually, because like when we were in groups like NCT, when my child was a baby, or like the hypnobirthing, and anytime like one of the mothers would be like having a real struggle with their husband because, you know, they had just gone through 36 hours of labor and they asked him to go to Tesco for a banana. And he was like, oh, I don't really want to go to Tesco right now. The lights are really bright.
What?
And these women would like look at me and my wife and be like, is it amazing, with this sort of like really, really funny like lust that they just wanted a female partner.
Yeah.
No, but I would say that what's really nice about like a same-sex marriage is that you don't have the gender politics of like, this is a woman's job, this is a man's job, and we're constantly fighting against that.
Yes, of course.
So you just don't have that. There's no, you know, there's no space for that, which is quite nice. But it was interesting what you're saying, Gemma, about the mental load, because I don't know if you either of you read the book Matrescence. Have you heard about it or read about it?
No.
Oh, I would say to all listeners, this is an absolute must read if you are a parent or thinking about becoming a parent. It's an incredible book, and it's sort of about all the physiological changes that your body and your mind go through when you become a parent. So what you were saying about the mental load, I remember the day my daughter was born and we took her home from the hospital, I felt like a chamber was opening up in my brain that was solely dedicated to keeping her alive. It was like a new chamber was being forged in my brain. That's what it felt like. Wow. And that was just like, where is she? Is she safe? What are the hazards in that room? Who are the people? What could happen? Is there anything that could happen to this house? What's the lightning storm forecast? Like, just everything was geared around that. And essentially, that's exactly what happens. I mean, your brain, you know, people talk about baby brain in pregnancy, but it's baby brain is actually a scientific miracle. What your brain is doing is pruning gray matter, just deleting things that it does not need in order to make space for the hormones that your brain does need to keep another person alive. And so your brain literally changes shape when you look after a small baby. So that doesn't just mean for biological parents, or, you know, it can also be for non-gestational parents, not parents who aren't genetically related to their child. It's just the primary carer of a small child, their brain changes shape.
And this is regardless of gender?
Yes, regardless of gender, as they're the primary carer. So the same changes that happen in my brain as a birthing mother happen in the brain of adoptive gay dads, or dads in a same-sex couple or in a opposite sex couple who are the primary carer, etc.
I saw this really good, you've been reading books, I've been watching Netflix documentaries.
Sure. And that's the difference between us.
But that's also why we could be great best friends.
I'm so sorry. I have 12 best friends, but another time.
Schoolgate, get down there.
Just Gemma. Kidding, it's Harvey. Just like talking to you, Gemma. It's the Irish fashionizing you.
Scathing. I haven't got any time for this shit.
But I really miss my mum friend who was Irish. She's fucking moved back. Sorry, she's moved back to Ireland. I really miss her because she was.
I hate when people leave London. I find it really annoying.
She really didn't want to go, but
God, that sounds awful. What do you mean she didn't want to go?
Oh, it's a long story. But she's taking her family back. Like, she's just got. It's a long story. But she wanted to go, but she didn't want to go. Do you know what I mean? She was like, oh, I'm just going to go back and be boring. She was like, here, I'm like Irish and a bit interesting. She goes, I'm just one of them over there. And I was like, oh, I get that.
That's different for me. People still really adore me in Ireland because I'm a delight.
We'll
be the judge of that, Brona.
Bloody will and all.
You remind me. Do you know Maeve Higgins?
I do. She's amazing.
You know all Irish people, of course. You know all. No,
let's start listing Irish people.
I'd love if you just started naming Irish people. I've just realised I don't know Maeve Higgins, but I know of her. We're not like real life friends, but I think she's great. She's a very smart cookie.
That's the sort of thing she would. That line you said. That's the sort of thing she would say. I did a Radio 4 thing with her, and
all right, kind of England.
It was only a pilot, but we've got to record it. Made a vow. It was anyway. But she lives in New York now. Anyway, look her up, people.
Clang.
She does. Yeah, I love New York. I miss New York. I haven't been to New York since before I was pregnant, because like pregnancy, childbirth, newborn, COVID, and then. Bankruptcy. I'm not bankrupt.
You will never go back to New York.
You spent all your money on Peppa Pig Clubhouse, and there's none left for flights to New York.
I was going to say, can we touch on the COVID thing a bit? Because the timing of it. So when was your daughter born? What month?
So she was born at the end of January, and I lost quite a lot of blood during labour, because labour is just such a barrel of laughs. So I couldn't really walk for about 3-4
January
weeks.
What, 2020?
2020. Yeah, January 2020.
Oh my God. So she was born. Before.
Yeah, so just before. So then I had a few weeks of sort of like staying home and like not being, you know, kind of dragging myself to the bathroom by the elbows and just not really being able to walk because I was so weak. And then my maternity, you know, I was able to leave the house. My maternity leave started and I was like, oh my God, I can have tea and cake with friends. I can go to baby cinema. I can go to baby massage. I can like, you know, take her for walks in the park. I can sit in a shopping center and old ladies will coo and say, how old is the baby? And I will, you know, all of that stuff. And I had 1 week of maternity leave before like it became very obvious that we were in a global pandemic. And then I didn't leave the house. Like I didn't leave the house except for our state sanctioned 1 hour walk a day for like 7 months. But for us, it was literally the best timing because I wouldn't have gotten through 36 hours of labor without my wife. And there was loads of people who had to go through labor on their own.
Oh, yeah.
It was the 6 months where we would have hunkered down with a newborn anyway. And we got to do it while the whole world was doing it and felt like, no, you know, we weren't missing out on anything. And our daughter got her two parents home every single day for the first year of her life, pretty much, because office, you know, we didn't go back to offices for a long time.
Was your wife on like the magic word furlough?
No, she was furloughed a little bit. She was working. So she was on parental leave for the first month or so. Then she was working. Then she was furloughed for a little bit. And then she had booked in parental leave in the summer when I went back. So actually, it all worked out really well, except for, you know, the hundreds of thousands of people who died.
God, sorry. Well,
like, I don't think it worked out for them, but it worked out really great for me.
It just reminded me of, not that my man bashing again, but I remember a midwife saying to me that in some ways, a bit later on than that, like when it was right in the middle of it, because they couldn't let a lot of, you know, they had to be really restricted if
about who they
partners
let
could come in. Yeah. And let's just say a lot of the time the partners would be men. Yeah. But the midwives were loving it because they were like, the wards were so quiet.
Oh, that's
one, you
so
weren't getting
funny.
All the visitors. And she said, normally, and I know from the hospital, it was when I had mine, my last one was before COVID, and the bell's going all the time. There's people coming in at 3 a.m. with Kentucky Fried Chicken. Some of these mums that are on, you know, they've taken the pessaring thing and they're waiting for it to come, but nothing's
they're
happening.
In induction. Yeah.
Induction, that's the word. But of course, it was none of that. The midwives loved it because they were like so peaceful. And sometimes they said that the partners would stress them out more being there. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
There was pros and cons of that. Well, it's almost like they went back to the 1940s.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's cultures still in the world, I think, where they send the men away for like 6 weeks and then the women all move into the house together and deliver the baby and raise the baby and stuff.
I watch Call the Midwife and I'm always like, oh, it's so lovely when they're like, we think you need to stay here for a week to recover. And I'm like, now we're in a rush to get home, but they always make it look so lovely.
Mom saying that like, you know, because I was number 4 of 5. And I think when she went in to give birth to my little brother, it was a holiday from the 4 children at home. She was please, can I stay another couple of nights? It's so quiet and nice here just with my one child.
And also, I mean, my mum says, I was born in 1980. So
congratulations.
Young'un.
Thanks. But what she said was that they would come and get your baby and the babies would all be in these rows, you know, in the room.
Oh, yeah.
And then when your baby cried and needed
feeding. Like they're in the movies.
Yeah, exactly. And she said it was brilliant because they'd go, your baby needs feeding. Come on into the feeding room. And then you feed your baby and then they go back into the baby room again.
So what we're saying is we want to go back.
So I mean there's a whole generation of people of kids with attachment issues, but you know,
sure. But you get a really good night's sleep. The mother gets a good night's sleep, and that is the main thing.
But you know, me and my mum don't get on now, like it's just so it's fun, but we do.
I was gonna say we do a little feature sometimes when we remember kid logic, and I don't know whether either of you have got any.
I love this.
Things that your kids have said that is, sometimes it can be literal advice. Like you might have asked them, or they've just given it to you, or it can be a way better way of looking at the world, like mum, can you turn off the dark instead of switch the light off? I was trying to think of one, but I'm trying to encourage them to sit at the table when they finish eating, not just running off. So my youngest likes playing games, snap, board games, whatever, and I've got these cubes. And they're story cubes, so you just roll them and then you make a story with all the pictures. And
I love those. Yeah,
this really goes nowhere, but because I can't remember what he actually said, but I remember I was being really literal with the things, going, oh, clown. He was just being so imaginative, and I was just so proud of him, because it would be like just a cloud, and he'd be like, I don't know, I'm feeling all the emotions of a cloud, or whatever it was, not just saying it's cloudy. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, oh my god, you do just have to stop so sometimes brilliant. And really listen to them. But
I try to keep a it's the one I'm not, I thought I would be much more sentimental as a parent, but when she comes home with a big wad of pictures, I put them straight in the recycling. But what I am sentimental about is the things she says, and I keep a list in my phone of all the cute things that she said, like the cute things, the funny things. And like one of my favorites is, like, I think I tweeted about it a few months ago. Basically, we were just sitting at the dinner table, and out of nowhere, she shouted across the room and said, "Are you okay in the drawer, Sellotape?"
Oh, that's so caring.
Cute. Like, I didn't even know she knew the word sellotape, or like I couldn't remember the last time the sellotape was out of the drawer, but just the thought, the fact that she was just sitting there wondering if the sellotape was okay, it was so beautiful. But then I think, like, sometimes she does give really good advice, and like I can't tell if it's because she's heard us say these kind of things to each other, or if it's just her coming to her own conclusions. But I remember, like, a couple of weeks ago, my wife was not feeling very well, and we were about to go to a kid's birthday party, and she was like, oh, should I come, because, you know, I think they'd be sad if I don't make it, but should I go home because, you know, I'm sick? And my daughter, who's three, was like, "Mummy, if you want to come to the birthday party, come. And if you don't come, that's okay too."
Oh my lord.
That was perfect.
3.5.
So good.
Oh, I've got to add another one because you just reminded me, because I was thinking, my youngest, we're actually having trouble because, apart from that story thing, particularly with other people, he's just been so rude, and I'm trying to correct him, but also not have too much of a go at him. He's
got stuff
going on at home at the moment, so I don't know if that's affecting him. And but I'm trying to do that thing of like, well, I'm just trying to model behavior, you know, I'm being nice to other people, so he'll watch that. And the other day he told me that, oh my god, that his brother, because his older brother, they're in the same school, but they're sort of like not in the same playground, they sort of see each other over the wall, whatever. And his older brother is ADHD and ASD. And he said, oh yeah, I saw Huxley getting upset today, and I told him to stop and breathe. I was like, oh my god, just imagine his so little brother. It's not that's even his really big brother. Lovely. And I was like, okay, I think we'll be fine.
We had one again, I think it was about a year ago, so she was like 2.5, where I let my wife had a lion, and I got up early with her, and then when my wife came down in the morning, my daughter turned to her and said, "Hello, mummy, this is my friend Mammy," and like went to introduce us to each other. It was so cute.
She's got the genes, isn't she? She's got it.
She's really funny. One time my sister-in-law has a dog called Toby, and as she was stroking the dog, she said, "Toby stroked me when I was a dog."
Well, yeah, my kids come out with reincarnation stuff as well.
I love when kids say amazing reincarnation stuff. I always like Google those threads on the internet, because I like love to think that they've been here before.
I think it's because you might get, I found this around sort of 5, they start figuring out that you're going to die. And I know a lot of parents freak out, they're like, oh, I don't know what to say, da, da. And I just you know, kind of was quite honest with him. I didn't want to sort of give him, you know, like, oh, there's a heaven and all this kind of thing. But they come to their own thing, and he has grabbed onto the reincarnation thing, and he loves that, do you know what I mean? So they will find their own.
When my dad was dying, he was like in the last few days, and my older sister was being dropped off at the hospice, and her two kids who would have been, I don't know, three and four or something. And they wound the window down. Auntie Gemma, is Grandad going to heaven today?
Oh.
I said, I'm not sure. I said, maybe he will be, you know. And, is he famous? What do you mean? Like, they had this idea that there was this place called heaven that only famous people would go to.
Funny.
Yeah,
is he on the guest list, Auntie Gemma?
It is. I was in a bookshop yesterday and it was all these Christmas books. And
brag.
So on his birthday. So we're on a bookshop on his birthday, obviously.
Gemma, and, I didn't know you could read.
Yes,
I am Reed.
It was a newsagent. Go on.
Yeah, but they had these Christmas books already, and it's like Meghan Mogg's Christmas. And Meghan Mogg was one that I used to read to him, and I couldn't remember any of it, and it was just when he was learning to speak, and I was just like, I wish I'd recorded it. I wish I'd just had some audio of me reading to him and him responding to this, but it's not there and it's gone and I can't remember and I hate it.
Well, that's a good lesson just to do audio now, because when he's 18 you'll be wanting audio of when he was 9. So
you're right.
Never too late.
We've called reading stories. I have done that once, but I must do that. Right, we're going to let
you go. Well, did we solve parenting? Is that, did we fix it?
I think we fixed laughing your way through parenting, which is what we try to do.
Drinking your way through parenting.
Yeah, we try to make people...
Microdosing your way through parenting.
Do you know what, Hattie?
Yeah?
I think we should find someone who's into microdosing. Apparently it's a big thing now. Mother's doing this.
Is it? Mother's doing it?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
God, what, just to get you through the school gates and...
I don't know.
I'm not microdosing, but I am macrodosing Jaffa cakes.
Yeah, I was going to say. I could never microdose anything. Just for the max. Like a little tiny bit. Anyway, funny mummies do not condone anything.
Rona does.
Rona does. We always ask Rona if there's Bronis, anything to promote or big up or anyone. You could be a lift a sister.
Oh, I forgot that you ask this.
I didn't prepare you, sorry.
Yes, so now I'm gonna unglamorously pause for a second to think.
While you're thinking, I was just gonna say, because I forgot, obviously I've got my Scream of Laughter comedy club, which is in Walthamstow, but unfortunately your little one is too old to come along, but it makes me seamlessly be able to advertise my club.
Well done. You nailed that. I would say to big up some other comedy writers, if you don't already, you should follow Gráinne Maguire and Sarah Mills on Twitter or Instagram. They're two of my favourite gag writers working in TV. So they are awesome. In terms of promoting, because I don't do anything that much live. It's just the shows that I work on, but I don't think I need to promote anything currently that I can think of.
Maybe just
follow me on Twitter and Instagram as well. And then I will tell you when I'm doing anything that you need to know about.
Exactly. Just follow you. All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure. So nice to meet you both. And thank you for having me. I'm so sorry, I'm busy that day.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast. Thank you to my co-host today, my guest, and today's show was edited by Scott Kingsnorth. Thank you so much for listening and supporting this show. If you'd like to support it more, I know you can do even more. You can follow us on Instagram at funnymummies_podcast, and that will tell you all the updates. You can also support us by buying us a coffee or something on one of these fangled things called Ko-Fi. I'll give you the whole address. It's ko-fi.com/HattieAshdown_funnymummiespod. Got that? Thank you for listening, subscribing, and taking the time for you.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!